Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY23 earnings conference call of Aditya Birla Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Vishakha Mulye, CEO, Aditya Birla Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the earnings call of Aditya Birla Capital for Q4 of FY2023. Joining me today are our senior members of my team, Bala, Rakesh, Tushar, Pankaj, Kamlesh, Mayank, Pinky, Vijay, and Sanchita. I will cover our strategy and approach across businesses, and Vijay will cover, you know, key financial highlights, followed by a discussion on performance of our key businesses by respective CEOs. The Indian economy continues to remain resilient amidst a volatile global macroeconomic environment. The growth momentum is visible in increasing industrial output and capacity utilization, strong improvement in services and manufacturing PMI, and rise in GST collections. Indian financial sector remains healthy and stable. Though inflation remains elevated, it has moderated from its peak. We expect these positive trends in industry to continue and Indian economy to perform well in FY2024. At Aditya Birla Capital, we follow one ABC, one P&L approach to focus on quality and profitable growth by leveraging data, digital, and technology. The three pillars of our approach are one customer, one experience, and one team. We have a strong presence across protecting, investing, financing, and advising, that is PIFA offerings. We have adopted a one customer approach to build deep understanding of our customer profiles and provide them best-in-class solutions across PIFA. Our endeavor is to provide a one experience across channels and enhance seamless delivery of our products. We follow an omni-channel architecture for distribution and provide complete flexibility to our customer to choose the channel through which they wish to interact with us. We focus on working together as one team by leveraging synergies to drive cross-sell and deliver complete and comprehensive solutions to our customer. We have also aligned the incentive structure of our senior management team to reflect this approach. This approach has helped us to accelerate our growth trajectory, build scale, and increase market share across our businesses. We continue to expand our branch network. We added 75 branches during the quarter, and our total branches count was 1,295 as on March end. We have 584 co-located branches across 155 One ABC locations where customers receive assistance to achieve their financial goal. We will continue to increase our presence on One ABC locations. We follow a digital-first approach for product innovation, customer selection, and seamless onboarding and improving service delivery. In our AMC business, about 75% of our customers were onboarded digitally in FY23. In our life business, 77% of the renewals were done digitally. In our health insurance business, 87% of the business is delivered by auto underwriting. We leverage our data, digital, and technology across our businesses and have taken various initiatives to further strengthen our proposition. We have recently formed a wholly owned subsidiary, Aditya Birla Capital Digital, which will develop an omni-channel D2C platform. This platform will serve existing customers, acquire new customers, and act as one-stop solution to deliver PIFA solutions to all our customers. The virtual engagement channel of this platform has already gone live in March. We are collaborating with NTCI to develop and promote digital payments, which will enhance our customer transaction experience. We have recently launched InFinance, an innovative engagement program to partner with startups and co-create solutions for enhancing customer journeys and increasing the operational efficiencies across our businesses. a comprehensive digital platform for MSME ecosystem, Udyog Plus went live in March. It offers a paperless digital journey for business loans and loan disbursement up to 10 lakh rupees. Udyog Plus has been integrated with the government and private e-commerce website to provide credit facilities to the sellers on these platforms. We have seen more than 2,500 registrations on Udyog Plus within a month of its launch. We see a favorable prospect for the Indian economy in the near and medium term. We expect India's domestic consumption and investment drivers to continue to support healthy GDP growth. A strong parentage provides a seamless access to capital, both equity and debt, and extended ABG and ABCL ecosystem gives us multiple opportunities to accelerate our growth. Going forward, we will follow our 1ABC, 1PNL approach to continue to grow and build scale in each of our businesses. In our NBFC business, we will focus on building a granular portfolio by growing our personal and consumer loans and secured and unsecured businesses. We will build differentiated offerings for MSMB and scale up our Udyog Plus to acquire new customers and tap into ABG ecosystem. In our HFC business, we will grow growth, prime and affordable business segments with a focus on quality origination. We will continue to deliver sustainable growth and ROA in the medium term in both our lending businesses. In the AMC business, we will work towards increasing equity market share. We will aim to increase our presence in passive and alternate businesses. In life insurance business, we will grow the traditional segment with a focus on diversifying our distribution mix, increasing our productivity and improving the persistency across cohorts. We will continue to deliver sustainable growth in embedded value and VNB in the medium term. In health insurance business, we will leverage our differentiated health first model for better risk selection and risk pool management, diversify our distribution mix and utilize our digital capabilities for hyper-personalization at scale. We intend to make investment with primary objective of supporting growth in our lending and insurance businesses and to strengthen our digital offerings. Our board of directors have approved today raising funds of an amount up to 3,000 crore rupees subject to the requisite approval. Now I request Vijay to cover the financial performance for Q4 and financial year 2023. Over to you, Vijay.
Thank you, Vishakha, and good evening, everyone. We delivered a strong performance for FY23 with accelerated growth momentum across our businesses. The total revenue grew by 31% year-on-year to 9,146 crores in Q4, and 27% year-on-year to 29,999 crore in FY23. Consolidated profit after tax grew by 35% year-on-year to 609 crore rupees in Q4 and 33% year-on-year to 2,057 crore rupees in FY23. The consolidated profit after tax in FY23 excludes the fair value gain related to investment in Aditya Birla Health Insurance. In our NBFC business, we continued with a strong momentum of disbursements and granularization of our book. Disbursements for the quarter grew by 19% sequentially and 58% year-on-year to 15,598 crores in Q4 of FY23. This helped the loan book to grow 46% year-on-year and 10% sequentially to 80,556 crores as of March end. Loans to retail, MSME, SME and HNI segments now constitute 67% of our portfolio. ROA of our NBFC business was 2.45% and ROE was 14.76% in FY23. In our housing finance business, disbursements increased by 29% sequentially and 36% year-on-year to 1,790 crore rupees during Q4 of FY23. The loan portfolio grew by 6% sequentially and 14% year-on-year to 13,808 crore rupees as of March end. ROA was 1.94% and ROE stood at 13.16% in FY23. Coming to our AMC business, the average AUM was 2,75,204 crore rupees, of which equity AUM was about 42% in the current quarter. With our continued focus of growing passive and alternate asset segments, passive AUM was about 28,200 crore rupees at March end, which is about 2.8 times the passive AUM as of March end last year. The growth momentum in our life insurance business continues with 37% year-on-year growth in retail first-year premiums, which was significantly ahead of the industry growth of 19% year-on-year in FY23. Group new business premium grew by 30% year-on-year in FY23. We achieved a net VNB of about 800 crore rupees in FY23, which was more than two times the net VNB in FY22. Our net VNB margin increased by 801 basis points year-on-year to 23% in FY23. Embedded value was 9,014 crore rupees as of March end. In our health insurance business, our unique and differentiated Health First model helped us to deliver industry-leading growth of over 57% year-on-year in FY23 among standalone health insurers. The market share of ABHI among standalone health insurance increased by 210 basis points to 10.4% in FY23. Combined ratio improved from 127% in FY22 to 110% in FY23. With that, I will now hand over the call to Rakesh to take us through the NBFC business performance in detail.
Thanks, Vijay, and good evening, everyone. In our NBFC business, we saw strong momentum across all segments in quarter four, contributing to a 10% quarter-on-quarter and 46% year-on-year growth in our AUM, taking it to 80,556 crores. Our retail and SME segment AUM grew 57% year-on-year, and our active customer base grew to 5.7 million compared to 3.6 million last year. In quarter four, we disbursed rupees 15,598 crores, which is the highest for a quarter so far. Our disbursement for the full year was double of that what we did in FY22. Also, 72% of it is towards retail and SME customer segments. Business loans comprise nearly 43% of our disbursement mix and was the highest contributor across product segments, followed by personal and consumer loans at 31%. 58% of our personal loans were sourced digitally. With this momentum and focus on granular product segments, we ended this year with a retail and SME segment AUM mix of 67%. Also, we were able to deliver a 60 basis points year-on-year improvement in our NIM, taking it to 6.84 for the year. We also significantly augmented our frontline capacity by doubling our branch footprint this year. We added 164 new branches in FY23, taking our branch footprint to 323 branches. Again, in line with our target for March 23. Despite this expansion in frontline capacity, we managed to maintain quarter four cost income ratio at a similar level as last year. And this I attribute to our continued investment in technology to digitize processes to grow sustainably. We closed FY23 with a profit before tax of 2,090 crores for the full year, delivering a 41% growth year-on-year. In fact, profit before tax for quarter was at an all-time high of 604 crores, growing 51% year-on-year and 12% quarter-on-quarter. The ROE for the quarter was 16.55% compared to 12.4% in quarter four last year. Over 4% expansion in a year, which is clearly noteworthy. I had mentioned in my last quarter earnings call the next leg of growth will be driven by our enhanced frontline distribution capacity and investment in digital and direct sourcing channels, which we will continue to invest in FY24 as well. In business loans vertical, we launched the differentiated Udyog Plus, our unique and differentiated unified platform for MSME customers to enable digital journey for credit as well as value-added services for MSMEs to transact seamlessly. The asset quality has shown a consistent improvement over last year, with a stage 2 and stage 3 coming down from 8.98% in quarter 4 last year to 5.84% in quarter 4 of FY23. Gross stage 3 has reduced to 3.12% compared to 3.58 in quarter 4 last year. We maintain our stage 3 PCR at a healthy rate of 46.2%, up from 43 last quarter. Credit cost for the quarter was 1.49%, which was 25 basis points lower than previous quarter, which you may recall I had mentioned in my last call was elevated owing to the implementation of new ECL policy. Now to conclude and reiterate the quarter four performance, not only did we have a strong quarter in terms of AUM growth, but also in terms of progressively driving increase in retail and SME portfolio mix. As a result, our quarter four NIM expanded to 6.88% over last year, and with the efficient control on cost, despite investment in building scale, we delivered a quarter four PAT growth of 51% and return on equity of 16.55%. With this, I will now hand over to Pankaj Gadgil for our housing finance business.
Thank you, Rakesh, and good evening, everyone. I will now cover the performance of ABHFL. Here we have experienced continued momentum in disbursals and book growth with a robust financial performance and focus on portfolio quality, which has resulted in consistent improvement across all return metrics. Let me talk you through some of the key highlights. Disbursements of 5,300 crores in FY23, which is our highest ever, which is an increase of 42% YOY. Loan book as of March 23 is 13,808 crores, an increase of 14% YOY. NIM is 5.08%, an increase of 70 basis points YOY, and our PBT for FY23 is rupees 309 crores, which is an increase of 22% YOY. Portfolio health has improved consistently, and stage 2 plus stage 3 has reduced by 271 basis points QOQ and 377 bps YOY. Gross stage 3 loans have reduced to 3.23% in March 23 from 3.66% in December 22. You can see that we have demonstrated consistent improvements across various key performance indicators for a third consecutive quarter, encompassing aspects of book growth, asset quality and core profitability. We witnessed accelerated growth in disbursements across all product segments. The customer base now is about 54,500 and has grown by 22% YOY. We continue to focus on granularity with a ticket size of 25 to 30 lakhs. ABHFL now has a pan-India presence with 128 branches located across 20 states and a well-diversified portfolio. We continue to invest in talent, technology and analytics to increase capacity and enhance productivity. The cost-to-income ratio for FY23 is 42%, reflecting accelerated investments in technology and franchise. Now coming to portfolio quality, the moratorium on all the COVID restructured cases are ended in December 22. All the numbers which you are seeing on slide 32 of the investor presentation are including the performance of restructured cases, and 100% of the cases are now being presented for collections. Like I mentioned earlier, our gross stage 3 has reduced from 3.66% in December 22 to 3.23% in March 23. We are maintaining a stage 3 PCR of 33% and additionally carrying a management overlay of rupees 56 crores. With a robust debt service framework and pre-delinquency management, the collection efficiency is consistent at 99%. and most importantly, with a focus on quality of origination, 96% of our disbursements in Q4 FY23 are with 700 plus CIBIL or new to credit. You can see the detailed breakup of the same on slide 31 of the investor presentation. Moving on to financial performance and liquidity management, in terms of ALM, ABHFL is operating in compliance with the regulations stipulated by NHB and board. We have maintained positive ALM, ensuring that the company is well prepared to meet its liquidity requirements, which can be further referenced on slide 33 of the investor presentation. They are rated consistently AAA for the last 6 years by ICRA India Ratings. And as you can see on slide 34 of the investor presentation, we've been able to maintain a healthy spread at 3.79%. With continued focus on diversified long-term borrowings, the contribution of NHB to total borrowing outstanding has increased from 14% in March 22 to 18% in March 23. Now coming to the financial highlights, the PPOP is highest ever at 381 crores in FY23 with a growth of 16%. The PAT for FY23 is 241 crores, an increase of 22%. The ROA for FY23 is 1.94% and ROE is at 13.16%. You can refer to the detailed financials on slide 38 of the investor presentation. Lastly, on slide 35, our organizational roadmap is anchored around growth, service excellence, digital reinvention, and distribution network. And let me cover that briefly. Firstly, we expect to accelerate growth in both the prime and affordable segments through geographically focused micro-market penetration strategy and fully leveraging the ABG ecosystem. Secondly, like Vishakha earlier mentioned, we are accelerating our digital reinvention efforts across the entire customer journey, and we have launched a seamless loan origination system in April 23, which enables higher face time of our teams with customers. Lastly, we are very actively focusing and enhancing our analytics capabilities across areas of data engineering, data science and decision science. In summary, we are committed to sustain our profitability and maintain a quality portfolio while simultaneously investing in long-term growth. With this, I now hand over the call to Bala, MD and CEO of our asset management company.
Thank you, Pankaj, and good evening to everyone. As I present in the AMC con call, the total average assets under management, including alternate assets for Q4 FY23, stood at 2,86,000 crores. For the quarter ending March 23, our mutual fund AUM was at 2,79,000 crores. Remained more or less flattish as compared to Q3 of FY23 AUM. Our equity mutual fund assets under management was at 1,06,000 crores for the quarter ending March 23. The equity mix stood at 42%. Throughout the year, we launched several initiatives aimed at increasing the size of our SIP book size. In fact, that effort has resulted in our SIP book crossing 1,000 crores for March ending 2023. As part of the strategy to build a customer's acquisition, we added close to about 7 lakh new folios, which has resulted in our overall folio count increasing and going above 80 lakhs as of March 23. On the passive front, our product offering grew by 3 times to 29,000 crores as of March 23. Our existing passive bouquet has grown from 7 products to 41 products, and overall number of folios added is now close to about 4,93,000. On the alternate asset building, especially on the PMS and AIF front, we have raised a commitment of 734 crores through India Equity Service Fund, which is Category 3 AIF fund, by leveraging our multi-channel distribution footprint that we have established over a period of time. With respect to the offshore operations, we have received in-principle approval from GIFT City, launching India ESG Engagement Fund very soon, domicile in GIFT City. Additionally, we are also currently in the process of launching two more global funds under the GIFT City umbrella. On the real estate front, though we have been trying to building incremental assets, but current focus has been creating right experience in our credit opportunities fund by way of making investments. That investment is currently in progress. With respect to the financial numbers on a full year, for the full year, March 23, the revenue from operation was about 1,227 crores compared to 1,290 crores for the FY22. Operating profit before tax was at 667 crores as compared to 743 crores in FY22. FY23 profit before tax was at 794 crores versus 891 crores on the same period last year. I'm also happy to announce that as part of our shareholders' approval, we declared 5.25 per share as a final dividend. That takes it to 10.25 per share on a full year basis. With this, I'll hand it over to Kamlesh Rao, MD and CEO of IBLS Sun Life Insurance.
Thank you, Bala, and good evening to all of you. The consistent growth journey of ABSLI in both the individual and group life insurance business continued in the financial year ended 2023. We outperformed both the overall industry as well as the private industry. Individual life insurance grew by 37% compared to the private industry's growth of 24%. This growth was achieved through increased productivity and capacity investments made last year. Our success in launching new products was key to our growth. We launched an industry-first immediate income guarantee product under the Nishchit brand, which sold 5,000 policies in just 17 days. The success of our new products, combined with our PASA contribution of 25%, were the hallmarks of our business in financial year 23. The individual business had a very healthy product mix, with traditional business accounting for 81% and the ULIP business now at an all-time low of 17%. This has resulted in strong gross margins for the firm, and the fact that 25% of our business came from upselling to existing customers helped productivity growth in both our proprietary as well as our partnership channels. In the group life insurance segment, the private industry saw a growth of 17% last year, while CBSLI registered a growth rate of 30%. We continue to focus on the credit life business, which is growing at more than 100% over the last year's base. Our total premium of 15,070 crores has registered a growth rate of 24% over last year, with a two-year CAGR of 24%, demonstrating the consistency of our business growth. This growth came from new business growth as well as renewal premiums growing at 14%. Like Vishakha mentioned, our digital collections now account for 77% of our renewal premium, and this growth is seen across all persistency buckets from the 13th month to the 61st month, with the 13th month persistency now at 87% and the 61st at 54%. We continue to maintain an upward bias in our forward guidance for these persistency numbers. Our AUM under management now stands at close to 70,051 crores with a YOY growth of 15%. A two-year CAGR here of 17% is a demonstration of the consistency of our growth. 24% of this AUM is in equity and the balance 74% in debt. Our investment performance has been better than the respective benchmarks across all three categories of equity, debt or even balanced funds, either from a one-year or a five-year perspective. Our digital adoption across various areas is demonstrated in slide 54. 99% of our new business customers are onboarded digitally. 83% of all our services are now available digitally, covering 60% of our customer transactions. And our customer self-service ratio now stands at 88%. We continue to manage the net margin story well, as seen in slide 55. Last year, we managed a net VNB of 15, and for last year, financial 23, we closed the year at a 23% net VNB margin. We have shown a growth of 800 basis points in our net margins compared to last year, and the absolute value of net VNB moved from 369 crores to 800 crores in financial year 23. ROEV has grown to 22.6% in financial year 23, from 15.4% levels of financial year 22. We will continue to focus on quality of our book to make it better across the 13th till the 61st month persistency from current levels, and also focus on diversified mix of both the proprietary and partnership channels within our business. We believe that the new EOM guidelines introduced by the regulator will have a positive impact on the life insurance industry in the long run. These guidelines will ensure directionally that life insurance companies will improve cost efficiency in their business operations, and eventually these efficiencies will get passed on to customers in the form of better benefits and products as per the spirit of the new guidelines. With this, I will now hand over to Mayank, the MD CEO of our health insurance.
Thank you, Kamlesh, and I'm very happy now to present the performance of our health insurance business. We had a very successful year with an industry-leading growth of 57% YOY in FY23, making us not only the fastest-growing health insurer in the country, but in fact the fastest-growing insurer across all lines of GI industry. We are well ahead of industry growth at 21% and SAHI growth at 26%, and the growth was powered by our retail franchise expanding at an impressive 33% YOY. In FY23, we had acquired 3 million net new customers, bringing our total customers to 21 million, 11% YOY growth. As a result of this growth, our market share in SAHI companies stands at 10.4%, an increase of 210 basis points over last year. Our corporate business experienced an outstanding growth of 104% in FY23, driven by our strong emphasis on cross-selling and upselling, and the introduction of a new category of corporate OPD offerings, which have collectively accounted for 41% of our business in the last year. Our corporate business is modeled on right risk selection, designed to capture market opportunity targeting new age companies, and has delivered a positive combined ratio. We believe that we have set up one of the most profitable corporate businesses in the industry. In terms of overall profitability, in FY23, we observed an escalated level of retail claims, which is consistent with the industry trend. The claims are largely driven by factors such as long COVID-linked illnesses and provider inflationary pressures. To mitigate the impact of these claims, we have implemented various interventions, including underwriting, sourcing, and provider management strategies. Additionally, we have increased the price of our flagship products already. We have further strengthened our FWA, which is fraud, waste, and abuse models, and we are also collaborating with the industry, in fact, to help identify and prevent any potential fraudulent activities using the data provided by IIB. But in spite of the above, our combined ratio has actually come down to 110% in FY23, a reduction from 127% the previous year. The full year loss stood at 220 crores, well below the loss of 311 crores in the same period last year. As we progress, achieving a larger scale will enable us to generate greater operating efficiencies. We believe our superior performance is made possible by the robust foundation we've established through our unique health first model over the past 6 years. The power of the proposition lies in its ability to leverage the fundamental principles of prioritizing the health of consumers, which has resonated strongly with our stakeholders, as was reflected by the success of our brand campaign, Kya Piche Chhoda Hai, which was the story of our actual consumers sharing their experience with the masses. In order to build upon our differentiated model, we are continuously introducing new offerings to the market. Our recently launched product, Active Fitch, which was an industry-first comprehensive plan for young consumers, is in line with the strategy of innovative and segmented product offerings. This included an industry-first feature of in the product, a face scan-based good health declaration, and which has been received very well by the market so far. Our industry-leading claim settlement ratio of 96% is a reflection of our commitment to prioritizing key moments of truth for our consumers. On the digital front, our digitally enabled distribution mix is the most diversified distribution in the industry, with proprietary channel contributing to 27% of our retail business as of now. We now have 85,000 plus advisors across 200 plus branches. As I mentioned earlier in the previous communication, we leveraged the 1ABC branch strategy to nearly double our branch network at a low cost last year, and are also synergizing with other BUs in areas like common advisors. In addition, we now work with 17 plus banks, including the recently added two new public sector banks, Punjab and Sindh Bank and UCO Bank. On the digital front, our business, including through digital alliance partners, grew 71% YOY, becoming a sizable 15% of our total retail mix. We continue to invest extensively in our technology and digital capabilities, superior customer experience, and more importantly, scale hyper-personalized engagement for our health-first model. We're already in phase two of our tech and digital investments to further lead in this space to leverage the emerging new opportunities, fueled by the changes in regulations over the past 1 year. In addition, we are continuously enhancing our data and analytics models to make our entire customer lifecycle management more efficient and personalized. This includes personalized product offerings, leveraging PASA, targeted health and wellness interventions, and personalized service approach to enhance overall customer experience. Furthermore, our predictive analytics model helps us to detect fraudulent claims, and machine learning algorithms help analyze customer data to predict future claims and ensure accurate pricing and coverage. Moving forward, we aim to aggressively expand our franchise while maintaining best-in-class unit economics. We would like to open up chosen white spaces to increase revenue pools and also improve profit pools. Thank you, and I will now pass it back to Vishakha for closing remarks.
Thank you, Mayank. This concludes our comments on the Q4 FY2023 performance, and now we will be very happy to take if there are any questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Renish Bhuva from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on a good set of numbers. So, two questions from my side. So one is on this fresh capital raising. So if you can help us through the capital allocation of this likely fundraise.
So as you know that, you know, it is expected that the Indian economy will grow at a very healthy pace. I think in the last year, one has seen a very robust credit growth in the system at around, you know, over 15%. You know, all the other parameters and the drivers of the growth in the economy has really worked in the last 12 to 15 months. And one expects that momentum to continue. We believe that the capital that we plan to raise, we intend to make investment with the primary objective of supporting the growth in our lending and insurance businesses, and also to strengthen our digital offerings. You know, and that is what it is basically for the growth in the franchise across the platform.
Okay. Any split you would like to highlight? Like, say, how much of this would be towards lending business and how much of it would be towards digital and insurance?
That will be very difficult to, you know, articulate. But as I said, you know, if one were to look at the growth that we have seen across our businesses, it has been very robust. And therefore, we believe that taking into consideration the growth that one expects in the Indian economy, we will definitely require capital for the growth. And therefore, you know, we will ensure that the capital is available for all our businesses to have the robust growth.
Got it, ma'am. And so my next question is on the NBFC side. So, you know, as on March 23, our book mix is roughly 70% secured, 30% unsecured. But when we look at the FY23 incremental disbursement, it is more skewed towards the unsecured piece. So maybe in a medium-term perspective, what could be the ideal mix in terms of secured and unsecured for us?
Yeah, so we will continue to really see and look at the opportunity in terms of the different customer segments. So clearly, personal and consumer space, we are looking at opportunity, and also on the MSME business. And as Vishakha had mentioned, we have launched Udyog Plus. So I think we'll continue to focus on these segments. And depending on what the customer needs are and the product segmentation is, we continue to build a balance of both secured and unsecured, and we will continue.
So broadly, it should remain at 70-30 mix, or unsecured should outpace the secured mix?
As I said, I think it will depend in the customer segments what are the opportunities, and we will continue to really leverage on that opportunity both on the consumer side and on the MSME side.
Okay.
And a lot of MSME business is secured in nature.
Got it, sir. This is helpful, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Avinash Singh from NK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Good set of numbers. A couple of questions. The first one is, again, broader on your strategy. You have articulated nicely your strategy. But so far, one concern that remains with the overall ABC business is that in majority of the cases, the businesses are still kind of a B2B2C or B2D2C, where your bridge to the customer from your entity to the customer are kind of a very, very powerful third-party distributor entities. And that is where a question comes around the, you know, your sustainability of customer franchisee or growth. I mean, whether I look at the lending business where you are sort of partnering with a lot of, you know, fintech, DSAs, and eventually reaching out to customers, or in insurance, it's like the bank and all. So how, I mean, of course, you have the plan for B2C in place, but how do you see this, I mean, sort of evolving when you, your business has a sort of a direct connect with the customers, because that is a bit differentiated that many of your peers. So again, some bit of more color on how it is going to change over, say, 1-2 years, how your approach or reach to customer at the time of sort of reducing the intermediation. That's one. And second is on the lending piece, on the NBS side, that a lot of this growth at this point, I mean, is coming, you know, in this personal unsecured. Of course, the previous question tried to address this, but do you have sort of a, you know, a sort of a segment in mind which you'd like to add? Because some of the segment where you operate, probably the competition would be sort of increasing, and also kind of a growth would be already kind of a peaking out, if I can say. So is there sort of a product segment you have in mind that we sort of augment, you would like to augment to enable your future growth? These are my two questions. Thank you.
Okay, so let me take the first one because it is across the platform. So first of all, you know, if you look at it, even the partners, yes, we do work with the partners, particularly the digital partners in our NBFC business. We do work in our insurance businesses, you know, the agents, as well as, you know, the bank assurance partners. We look at these partnerships as more as a channel to reach at our customers. When we reach our customers, it is most of the time our people are involved. The customers get to experience our product directly and our service directly. And therefore, you know, we have a direct contact with the customer. Also, the data of the customer and the customer ownership in most of the channels is with the Aditya Birla Capital. And therefore, we can leverage these customer data as well as the customer, you know, the contact for our, you know, for our other products as well. In few channels, of course, there would be a cost implication because we may have to, you know, pay some amount to the channel that we would have used initially. But I would say that in all the channels, we have a direct, you know, contact with the customer, and the customer gets to experience our products and services directly. As you rightly said, yes, we are working in each of our businesses to also create now, in many businesses, we already have that, but also we are creating now a specifically dedicated a digital channel, which we call it as one ABC, you know, and we incorporated what we call it as Aditya Birla Capital Digital, which is going to be an omni-channel, you know, platform, which will have, which we will leverage our existing branches. We will have a VRM, we'll have a web, you know, platform. We will also have our app. As I said in my opening remarks, we have already launched VRM and it has gone live in the month of March. We had said in our last, you know, conference call that we would be launching our web as well as, you know, the app in the very near future this year. So with that, of course, we will look at acquiring, we will, of course, look at servicing our existing customer of ABC as well as ABG Group. We will also look at acquiring the customer digitally through this channel. So I hope I have answered that question. And the second question, I'm going to request Rakesh.
On the first one, if I can just add, I just want to clarify that it's not all business, and I will talk about the lending business. If you look at 62% of our business is direct. Yes, we depend on the partners, but that is only on the consumer side of the business and the, some bit of personal loans of the business. But beyond that, the SME business which we do, it's a relationship and direct acquisition model which we have. And obviously on the corporate side also it's a direct acquisition. Also on the partners, the entire ownership, though the sourcing is done by the partners, that the entire ownership of the customer is with us. The entire contract is with the customer. The repayment happens from the customer's account. We make disbursement to in customer's account. So clearly the ownership is with us. The entire data, the performance of that customer is with us. So clearly, I think, yes, we do depend on some part of our business and some segment to acquire through the third party. But I think the ownership of the customer, and as I said, 62% of the customers which we acquire or the business which we have is through direct. And the second question was on NBFC in terms of the new product segments and all. So clearly, we have discussed this. We believe there is a big opportunity in the consumer, the personal space, and the MSME space. And that is the reason why we have built this platform, B2B platform, which is a Udyog Plus. And clearly, we want to capture the large-scale micro SMEs who are looking for a small ticket loans, and as we build a credit history of these customers, we will be able to really do business with them in a long term. So I think that's a clear new segment and new acquisition engine which we have built, and we believe there's a big opportunity and we need to really do justice to this before we really start looking at newer product segments.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. If you can just
sorry to interrupt you. I would request you to please come back in the queue. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking the question. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, thank you. So, I mean, again, my questions are on the lending business. Just want to understand with regards to the NBFC. Definitely very, very strong momentum that we are seeing across product segments. In the last question, you were kind of trying to explain about the digital partners that you work with predominantly in the consumer and the personal loan side of things. What I wanted to understand here is while the going is very strong now, just wanted to understand how are we looking at things going forward. What I'm trying to understand more specifically is somewhere are you, anxious about the kind of growth that is coming in, particularly in the unsecured side of things, not just personal and consumer loans, but also the unsecured business loans. Why I ask this is when we engage with a lot of your channel partners or let's say DSAs, what they clearly highlight is while the engagement is very, very good, at the same time, we are also very, very aggressive in terms of decisioning. So while it's a good thing that they appreciate, how are you looking at things? If you can answer this, and then maybe I'll ask my second question.
Sure. So if you look at 70% of our NBFC book is secured. Our unsecured portfolio comprises of personal loans to salaried professionals with a focus on emerging income segment and checkout financing. And if you look at that total book of 15,000 out of 80,000 crores of business, about 87% of our personal and consumer loan portfolio is to customers with a credit bureau score of more than 700. So we clearly, and we have built an underwriting model, the scorecards are inbuilt over a period of time with our learnings, and it's a completely agile in terms of the scorecard which we use, the credit bureau score and our own performance. The asset quality, as you mentioned, in our NBFC business through the cycle has been quite stable, and it continues to remain healthy. Also, if you look at the gross stage 2 and 3, that has declined by 315 basis points year on year and 114 basis points sequentially to 5.84. So clearly we are focused on all these customers which we onboard are acquired through the scorecards which we have built over a period of time, and we track the performance on not only monthly basis, in certain on a weekly basis we review the performance in terms of which cohorts are performing and how are they really coming on our benchmark. So we are completely on it and we will continue to be on it.
Thank you for that. Just a follow-up question. If you look at your DuPont or ROA tree in the NBFC business, can you help us understand what are those levers going to be going forward which will maybe help you achieve a further expansion in ROA from here? And just one last question for Vishakha. So yeah. This Aditya Birla Capital Digital that we have incubated now, and wherein you also talked about having that app interface. Again, two sub-questions here. One is, I mean, what are our plans going forward? Is this subsidiary going to house the so-called, let's say, super app of Aditya Birla Capital? And going forward, in addition to loan offerings, what are the other things that you maybe plan to provide on this app? Thank you so much.
So yes, the app will be housed in Aditya Birla, Capital Digital. In addition to, of course, our endeavor there would be to have a completely customer-centric approach. We will try to be, position our Aditya Birla Capital Digital as a one-shop solution for all the financial needs of our customer across his life cycle. And therefore, in addition to the products that we have are manufactured by us across our lending, insurance and investment, what we call it as PIFA, there are value-added services that we will also give it to our customer in the short to medium term.
Got it. And if you could address that question on the ROA in the NBFC business.
Yeah, so as we have been mentioning and we have been driving the granularity of business in terms of focused on personal and consumer and the MSME, I think that will change. That product mix will drive improvement in margins, and that should drive the overall ROE.
In addition to the answer which Vishakha gave on the first question, on the services and the products that you spoke, this is Pankaj here. I think we've also shared that in our direct-to-customer interface, payments is something that we have spoken of, and we did this collaboration with NPCI, which was also announced, to develop digital solutions on payments. And that also is going to be a very important hook when we are trying to offer our entire bouquet of solutions. So we always say PIFA, so it's protect, invest, finance, advice, and also we are adding the pay, which is payments. That's what we are getting to.
Yeah, thank you so much. Congratulations to the team on a very, very good quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Shah from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Vishakha and the entire team. So firstly, with respect to in terms of leveraging the group ecosystem and the kind of business momentum which we are seeing, how is the proportion of incremental lending to the group customer base and what do we see it as a proportion of the incremental lending over a period over the medium term?
We have not put out that number as yet. But just to, talk about the various customer segments, what we see is there is a huge potential to leverage the entire group ecosystem. Whether you look at on the individual side, we have a large number of employees within the group. We also, as Rakesh said, have recently launched our MSME platform, which is Udyog Plus, which will work with the entire ecosystem of the ABG you know, we have large industrial companies within our group which have their own dealers, vendors, also their own partners who are linked to them. We will work with each one of them to ensure that we, you know, provide finance and really meet the needs of these customers, which are the small and medium enterprises. We also, as a group, have made foray into the consumption and therefore really providing, you know, various of the solutions, including the payment solution, which Pankaj spoke about. We would be able to now make those available to the retail franchise that we are building at a group level. So we look at synergies across, you know, the businesses that we have in the group, including our own employees at a group level.
Okay. But there wouldn't be any specific targets which would have been internally aligned?
So internally, of course, Kunal, we have taken very ambitious targets and, you know, but as I said, we have not yet articulated it in terms of the number. But yes, each of our businesses have taken a very ambitious target internally, which we will work through.
Sure. And in terms of the digital lending, what would be that as a proportion of the overall disbursements?
Of overall disbursements, Kunal, we have given this. If you look at on the personal and consumer segment, out of that, how much will be?
So this 4,700 crores, what out of that, how much could be digital within this?
So 90% out of this will be digital.
Okay, 90% out of this.
19%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got that. And what would be the tenor of unsecured business loans?
So these are, Kunal, 15 to 18 months on the consumer side, and on B2B side, 18 to 24 months.
No, the only reason to ask the question was when you look at it in terms of the repayment, it's hardly 2% in this particular quarter. And even on a full year, it's hardly 20-odd%. So when we look at it in terms of the unsecured business, disbursements are 1,300, whereas there is almost like 1,200 crores kind of increase in AUM as well. So hardly like 150 pips kind of a rundown. And even on a full year basis, it seems to be hardly 1,100-odd crores kind of a rundown. So is it like a very, because tenor should be 1 to 2 years. So was not getting that test to why.
So that's exactly it. There are different. So in this, the short term, the checkout financing is even lesser than that. I gave you the average of 15 to 18 months. But if the checkout financing is there, it will be 6 to 9 months. So clearly that's where, and yes, it's a churn business. So you are right there.
No, in fact, it has to be higher. So here, there is hardly 2% repayment run rate for a quarter, which seems to be quite low.
I don't know what which numbers you are looking at. We will take it offline, Kunal, on there. We will explain this to you.
Sure. And just last thing, in terms of the capital distribution, did you highlight in between the lending and the non-lending, if you have to look at it, 3,000 odd crores, how will it get distributed between lending and the non-lending businesses?
So Kunal, as I said, that the capital, you know, we see a robust growth in the, you know, the segments that we are present today. And we see that growth opportunities across our segments. So depending upon, you know, the growth opportunities, we will, you know, allocate the capital to our respective businesses. But out of all the businesses, of course, the AMC doesn't require capital. Both the lending businesses and you know, the insurance business is what we consume. Yeah.
But would it be fair that largely it would be towards lending business, because insurance still we have 173% solvency?
I think looking at the, you know, the opportunities in the market, I think it would be fair to assume that.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks and all the best. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lalita Srivastava from Anvil Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Thank you, ma'am. And congratulations to the whole team for a great performance this quarter. So most of the questions have been answered. Just wanted to have a sense on, you know, the business growth outlook. We are leveraging our own network as well as, you know, partner channels and digital means as well. So if you can, you know, just help us understand, you know, what will be the repeat business run rate on the unsecured and the retail business, where we see desirable customer credit behavior. So what is the repeat business run rate there? That's my first question. And secondly, you know, on the asset quality side, you know, across the industry, we are seeing very encouraging terms, and especially also we have, you know, seen on both stage 2 and stage 3, very encouraging performance. But if you can, you know, give some sense as to, you know, first of all, more color on the additional checks, the credit filters that you are employing, in addition to the bureau scores based credit assessment. And if you take pre-COVID-19 credit filters as a threshold, where do you think we are as of now, and going forward, what will be our strategy on that? These are the two questions, and one third question I would like to add is, you know, what will be the sustainable credit cost outlook that you see for FY24 and beyond? Yeah, thanks.
So your first question on repeat customers, it's 40% plus is our repeat customers in our unsecured business. So clearly the strategy is that we onboard customers on a smaller ticket size, shorter tenor, and based on the performance of these customers, then we give them a slightly higher ticket size and a slightly longer tenor. So that's 40% plus will be our repeat customers. What was the second question?
In terms of the, how are we doing underwriting and apart from the
credit filters? Yeah, so credit filters, and I think, and Pankaj can add for home loans, but I covered this in my earlier, I think in the script as well, that 87% of our customers which we onboard on the consumer and personal side, they have credit bureau score of more than 700. And we track their performance in terms of on a monthly basis, in certain cases on a weekly basis. And we see which are the cohorts which are doing well, which is not doing well, and completely on top of this. So clearly we have built the credit engines. We have the entire alternate data we use in credit decisioning. So clearly a lot of work has happened there, and wherever we see anything which is not in line with our thresholds which we have defined, we clearly stop and or control it.
So I think to add to Rakesh, Pankaj, I think same goes for housing as well. So we have covered this in our slides as well. So for us also, 88% of our sourcing is to, you know, customers who have a bureau score of more than 700. And very interestingly, customers who are new to credit also, who are, you know, really, you know, at the top of the funnel there as well, the contribution is about 8%. So all into the 96% of our sourcing today is 700 and NTC plus. To your question on pre-COVID, I think overall, you know, the credit culture, you know, the country bureaus, you know, which has, you know, come up from 2008 today, that has matured. People have become very conscious, you know, regarding their own credit, you know, history. And like Rakesh mentioned, I think there's a very consistent focus, you know, A, in making sure the quality of origination is up to scale, and that, you know, we're talking about the bureau. And I think on portfolio management, on the early warning signals, I also spoke about the pre-delinquency management, which is, you know, using advanced analytics to predict, you know, which are the customers who are likely to, you know, not honor their checks, and then working proactively, I think also makes a lot of difference. I think that's, you know, consistently been our focus. You know, in both the lending businesses.
Yeah, and some sense on, you know, what will be the sustainable credit cost you would see for FY24, if you can share.
So I again mentioned this, that our through the cycle, our credit performance has been very, very stable. its stage 2 and stage 3 has come down by almost 315 basis points in terms of year-on-year and 114 basis points quarter-on-quarter. So I think we are completely focused on it and we believe that license to grow comes from the quality of the portfolio and we will continue to really very vigilant on our portfolio quality.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Sharma from HSBC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. Am I audible?
Yes. Yes. You are.
Thank you for the opportunity. Couple of data point questions. So if I can see that the portion of bank borrowings is 53% in both the lending business, can you just provide a further breakup of how much this is linked to repo, MCLR and some other benchmarks? That is one for both the lending business. And second question is that when you are going for incremental borrowing, so what are the benchmarks you are choosing or focusing on? These two questions.
So yeah, thanks for the question. I think as you rightly said, the term loans that we take from banks are always externally benchmarked. And of course, the endeavor is at all points of time to make sure that transparency is maintained and we are optimizing costs and at the same time, we are not compromising on any ALM. That's broadly the focus there. Of course, there will be a combination of, some banks who lend you at MCLR, plus there will be some banks who will be lending you on T-bills. I think that is a continuous process, from our end. And, as I had spoken, earlier in my transcript, this is about the housing business. The focus clearly is also leveraging NHB because, we are in the affordable segment. And we also spoke about the fraudulent contribution that is coming in today from the affordable and also in the CF business. So, leveraging NHB, for refinance becomes very critical. And, we have spoken about our mix, which has gone up, from 14% in March to an NHB to 18%. So, there's been a significant movement there. So, this is a continuous process, at our end, to look at ALM on the other side and also reduce costs because that's the raw material essentially, for the lending business. That's, where we are.
Do you have any further questions?
On question number one, okay, can you please put the that breakup confirm date?
We have not, explicitly disclosed, the breakups, but it's always going to be, some banks will be on MCLR, some will be on T-bills. Repo rates normally on, that's not what is the, indicator typically, when banks are lending to us. It will be these two only. That's the.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Shah from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello. Congratulations on good set of numbers. Thank you for the opportunity. I had one question on the housing finance business. So currently, we are generating around 2% ROA. This is well above our guidance of FY23. Of FY24. So any revised guidance which we are looking at, since if you look now, affordable housing is roughly 42% of the AUM, and given that the affordable housing players which are listed, they are generating an ROE of more than 3%. So are we aiming near to that mark?
I think, the way we've been saying that, we would want to always, sustain the performance. It is not only across the growth, it is also focused, on the margins. So the focus is, anyways going to, make sure that the, triangulation of growth, portfolio quality and also sound and robust financial management, the triangulation always, works for us. The contribution of, affordable, like you rightly said, is, now, affordable plus CF is today at 49%. So, as we have, always spoken, I think the opportunities in both the prime and affordable, have to be leveraged appropriately. And leveraging the ABG ecosystem as well, I think the focus is going to be along all the three tenets, which is portfolio management, robust financial management, and growth. So I think our endeavor is going to be to sustain, the numbers on the ROE that you mentioned and, look at opportunities at all points of time.
And one more thing on the stage 2 portfolio in affordable housing. So kind of that's seen a quite sharp decline from 4.5 to 4. So this is largely on account of recoveries or less slippages, or in the, what would be the reason?
So it's a very good question. So I think you know, the customers who had served their entire COVID trajectory, we observed these customers. A large proportion of them are repaying very, very healthily. So with natural movement, they have moved into stage one. And of course, we have our efforts intensified on the entire collection, and also the legal framework, which also helps us at all points of time to reduce the stage two and stage three effectively. And you would have seen that now the stage two and stage three stand at 4.99% in the portfolio.
Okay, and just one last thing on the this OPEX, overall OPEX thing. So given that we are pouring more into the digital space and making various initiatives on the digital platform, so how do we expect the OPEX to go out, means OPEX to hold in FY24, means OPEX to asset would be at around current levels, or will that see a slight bump up?
So I think
for housing as well as lending both.
I think matrices wise, we would not get very focused on the matrices individually. I think the key focus is, like I said, ensuring growth. Cost of acquisition on its own doesn't mean that much. I think the functionality of ROA is extremely important, and of course the robust financial management is very important. But at the same time, like I said, there is an acceleration in investment in technology and digital analytics that we are doing to ensure that the appropriate growth and ROA, and of course only financial management part of the story, it gets maintained.
Thank
and
you.
The,
yes, sir. Please proceed.
On the NBFC side also, if you see, the cost income ratio is quite efficient in spite of adding 164 branches last year. We have maintained the efficiency, and so we will continue to, I think, operate in these levels.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nischint Savate from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. So just on the the finance business, can you split the average ticket size of consumer and personal loans? I think that's around 28,000 between consumer and personal loans.
So consumer loans is around 20,000 and personal loans, blended personal loans, is around 3 lakh.
Sure. And on the secured side, the ticket size is declining. Despite the fact that LAP is going up. What could be the reason for this?
So clearly, we are focused on building granular business, and across all our segments is what we are trying to drive, and we will continue to drive that.
And what would be the ticket size in LAP?
In secured business, you're saying?
Yeah, that's right.
The secured business is 1.8 crores is our average ticket size.
In LAP, the LAP segment of secured business.
Yeah, so if you look at, this is average, and I think this will be across the segment, but majority, so it should be in the similar line.
Sure, get it. And just one clarification, the bureau scores that you put out into the pie chart, this is based on number of customers, or is it based on the value of the of loan book?
Number of customers.
Sure. Just moving on to health.
So it's on value. Sorry, just a correction, that is on value.
So that includes the corporate book also, is it?
No, we have mentioned this, and at the top that it's personal and consumer loans.
Corporate and consumer scores.
Got it. Just moving on to health, if you could kind of, help us understand how does the UM guideline affect the health business, and any color on past year profitability.
So I think, as Kamlesh also mentioned earlier, the situation will be very similar for both life and health, and I think it's a very positive step for both, the entire insurance industry. We'll have to watch out in terms of the pace at which it gets implemented, because I think ultimately the objective is to see how some of the benefits of this is passed on to create better offerings by the industry, which are more consumer more friendly for the consumers. But I think it will take some time for the whole framework to get executed by the industry, and in the medium to long term is when we start seeing the full impact of this.
But we are comfortably placed on this?
Yeah. We are very, because there are enough mechanism in the guidelines for all category of companies, including ours, to be able to meet the...
Quickly moving on to the life side, you know, on slide 40, you show the product mix channel-wise. Is this for the individual business or overall business?
The product mix is for individual business only. So 81% that you say, which is traditional, and 17% on the ULIP side is largely the composition, is the composition only of the individual life insurance.
And, you know, the unwinding rate for you at 9.6% in the EV box is probably, you know, more on the higher side. So, you know, if you could explain, maybe there is a specific reason for why it could be higher than peers. Is it something that you are running a larger duration, longer duration, you know, book?
So typically, it's a function of within the traditional, whatever, what is your composition. So if you have size of the... guarantee commitment that you have to the customer versus the spread you are making on that portfolio, if it is slightly better, then the unwinding rate in the non-par business tends to be better in a particular year. And that is why you will see across the listed companies, if they are in the range of about 7.5-8%, we would be at about 9. That incremental comes on account of a product mix and also a function of the committed guarantee in your guarantee book to the customer versus the spread that you can make on the same portfolio.
And one last point, how much is non-par in the traditional mix for last year and this year, for this year, sorry?
So actually, we, you know, monitor the product mix as per the opportunity in the marketplace. At one point of time, for our margins, we actually had excess of about 10-11% on protection. In the increasing interest rate scenario that we saw last year, we thought the opportunity was more in the non-par segment. So in the traditional business, about 75-80% of the business would be in the non-par segment. And that's what we keep doing every year, depending on the interest rate cycle. We will move the product mix accordingly. And therefore, maybe at this point of time, maybe we need to look at the protection business more aggressively. But last year, we did capitalize on the opportunity in the non-par segment within the traditional.
Perfect. Thank you very much for patiently answering all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, we take the last question from the line of Deepak Shinde from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. My first question is on NBFC. So the mix of retail plus SME is already ahead of our guidance. I'm at 67% and growing at only at a rapid pace. So is there any internal ceiling we have... we are looking at where the retail plus MSME will not grow at 70 or 75%, or we'll look at what kind of opportunities we have for growth in this segment. And similarly for personal and consumer loans.
So we'll continue to look at the opportunity and maximize the opportunity in terms of the risk calibrated manner. And these segments, we will have to review it looking at the opportunity.
Right. And second on the asset quality, in a housing business, the 3.3% GNPA. So what is the source of these delinquencies? More of structured finance or spread across prime, affordable and CF book?
We have a very high Deepak. So we have a very small, you know, CF book. You already know, 20%. So it is very well distributed. And, you know, as, you know, we have mentioned, it is coming down very rapidly. We have already seen from December to March, it has come down rapidly. And very importantly, stage one together now is only 4.9%.
Right.
You heard us talking about the quality of origination earlier as well. So we are very focused on the quality of onboarding. 96% of our onboarding is happening in civil bank scores of 700 plus and also new to credit.
So these would be largely prime plus affordable home loans or LAP, these GNPs.
Yeah, it is very, very well spread across in all the segments. It will be right to assume that.
Right. Correct. Just coming back to the NBFC growth, so our personal consumer book has been growing at a very rapid pace. So would we continue to seek opportunities, or there's a time where we would like to, you know, take some pause and evaluate how this entire portfolio has behaved? So what are the, you know, aspects for FY24 in terms of growth on the NBFC side?
So, Deepak, your voice was not very clear. If you can just repeat that question.
Am I audible now?
Yeah, but, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So, on the NBFC side, our personal consumer book has been going at a very rapid pace. So, is there any targeting line where you would like to, you know, take a pause and look at how that entire portfolio, the cohort has been behaving before, you know, continue to provide such metrics to you? So, any guidance you would like to give for FY24 on that book?
We will continue to focus on building a granular portfolio. So clearly on the personal and the MSME side. So we will continue to build that business, Deepak.
Okay, so if opportunities are, we will continue to grow at such high pace of growth on the personal and consumer side.
Depending on the opportunities and which we have.
Thank you. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Vishakha Mule, CEO, Aditya Birla Capital Limited, for closing comments.
So, sir, thank you. I would like to thank all of you to join us today evening and look forward to keep in touch and more interactions in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Aditya Birla Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.